That is, in God, everything that pertains to natural life. We surely need Him when we are considering spiritual things. I have a little mark up here. Once that's a representative question mark. I'm going to talk a little while about a question mark tonight. First question that I hear God asking anybody found in the third chapter of Genesis. And here in the eighth verse says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Tonight, the Lord is calling individually to every one of our hearts. He wants us to be sure that we settle this question right. The first thing is just, where are we? You know, really, God is the only one that exactly knows where we are. He's the one that can look down into the very deepest recess of our hearts and minds. And with His Spirit can convey the very truth of every matter to our individual lives. You know, there was a time when different things was questioned to me. There was a time before I found the Lord, I wondered how long I might live. I wondered if I'd ever get saved, if I could ever pay the price to really find God precious to my soul. But you know, not until He spoke peace to my soul did He settle a number of questions to me. And dear ones, it takes God to answer the questions of our hearts, the need of our hearts. He wants us to realize, every one of us tonight, what do we stand in need of? If we need something from God, He has whatever it is. There's nothing that we might need from the Lord but what He can supply that need. Here was a case where God had created two, a man and a woman, placed them in this beautiful garden. They were in the image and likeness of God. Sin, they had never known what sin was. Sin was a brand new thing to them, and not until they disobeyed God and walked against light and understanding did they know in the least what sin was. But oh, what a terrible awakening when they realized that they were separated from the good hand of God. They realized that there was something that had settled down upon their soul. And they realized that they was cut off from that wonderful friend. You know, no wonder when they heard Him come as before, treading quietly, stealing into the evening hour. No wonder that they fled and hid themselves. Why did they hide themselves from such a wonderful friend? It is because that friendship had been broken. That connection, that wonderful connection between God and man had been severed. Oh, dear ones, if you're here tonight out of the ark of safety, remember that He's coming looking for you. Don't do like Adam and Eve did. Don't go and hide. Come out in the open. Make your acknowledgments before God. Tell Him, "Lord, I want you. I want your help. I want to find my every need. I want to know just how to stand before you. Reveal yourself to my heart, dear God. Whatever you tell me, I'll do. Wherever you speak, I'll follow." You know the Lord's here tonight to bless you. Think of what a terrible thing had happened. The man and the woman that God had placed there in the image of God. Just think of that. Made in the very image of God, as pure and heavenly as an individual could possibly be. And yet, they had transgressed just that one commandment. You can eat of all the trees in the garden, but that tree in the midst of the garden, in the day that ye eat of it, ye shall surely die. That's exactly what they did, dear ones. Isn't the world doing that all around us today? They're just walking right over the commandments of God, and they're dying because they have severed their faith with God. But think of the question is, where art thou? You know, the Lord wants us to think of that tonight. And let each one of us weigh that question before the Lord. Where art thou? Where art thou? If you're not saved, the Lord looks upon you as unsaved, looks upon you in your sins. But he calls after the sinner. He's calling for them to turn away from sin, to turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's near tonight. I've heard Brother Chandler mention, and I'm sure it's that way, that there is no place that an individual, maybe some unsaved person on the job and shops or wherever it is, they're living in an element of the world. But when they come to a gospel meeting, there's a different attitude. There's a different element there. There's a different influence, a different surrounding. Everything is different when we come under the presence of God. You know, that's why when people come, many times they're touched in their hearts that they wouldn't seem to be touched otherwise. I remember one time there in our little congregation at Pomona. One night the Lord gave us a message to the unsaved. And we went desiring the Lord to cause somebody that was unsaved to be there. And there was two men. The rest of the congregation were all saints, supposed to be. But there were two men there that night that were unsaved, wicked men. One was a tramp. They told us he was living out under a railroad bridge, just tramping around over the world. Probably felt friendless and homeless and destitute. There was two men come in and sat in the meeting house. And after the message and the altar call was given, both of them men come to the altar. Well, now that's pretty good, wasn't it? 100% of the out supposed to be unsaved come and got saved. You know, that's not very often the case, is it? But God showed them where they was. I remember so well when this poor old tramp come by at the altar. You know what he said? He just said it not once, but over and over. He says, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm down here at this altar. I don't even know why I'm here to this meeting tonight. You know why? God was preparing something for him and calling with his spirit to come to that service and find God to his soul. You know, isn't it wonderful to know that God knows how to draw the unsaved under the influence of the gospel meeting? Yeah, I've just been enjoying this meeting to the full. I've just felt like that I'm getting so much good to my soul that if I don't do anything but just sing and pray and live for the Lord, I'll make it all right. Only when the Lord gives us a little to say. But now again, I want us to notice another, where art thou? Turn with us to the 19th chapter of Acts, and we'll start with the first verse. This is a little different side of the question, but it's all a part of the plan of God, dear ones. And here the reading is, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? You know, that's an awful important question, too. And let's consider that tonight. I feel that that isn't so important. Seems like that's the way people act, don't they? All the people that's been at our altar since this meeting wouldn't have any idea how many, but it just seemed like these wings on here has been stretched out here just several services in this meeting. Numbers of people have been at the altar. But you know, there hasn't been too many come seeking for the Holy Spirit, have they? Just don't seem like that's very important. But you know, there's nothing outside of getting saved as important as a sanctified life. Nothing. Healing is quite important to the body. But there is nothing, healing or nothing else that you can think of that's as important as your soul being filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the power of God. Filled with His working power in your life. Filled with a power that will purge and purify the heart, the mind, and the affection of men and women. You know, that's an important thing. This question ought to be important to saved and unsaved. We need to look real careful tonight. If we profess to be saved, let's just see real good now. If we still retain that Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, some people have grieved it. Some people have neglected it. Some people have been too occupied in other things and failed to retain that Holy Spirit in their lives. There's many people that I believe have got received the Holy Spirit, and by carelessness or by failing God in one way or another, or by sinning, failing to obey the Lord, they've lost that Holy Spirit out of their lives. You know, if you could see yourself as God sees you, you wouldn't hesitate a minute when you have an opportunity to yield yourself to God. This is important. This is an absolute importance. The receiving the Holy Ghost is so important that without it, you're going to lose out everything else. When people are saved and know the light and the truth and fail to go on to perfection, Paul says, you lay again the foundation of repentance. You just lay yourself open for the devil to bring you right back into bondage. Bring you right back under the power and the penalty of sin. And then many people have to be baptized again. Many people have to work to get established. That if they just went on and got saved, and then went on and presented themselves to the Lord, He would have sanctified them wholly, through and through. Give you power in your soul. Give you victory in your life. And give you ability to help somebody else. You know, that's important, isn't it? I've seen people that just stumbled and stumbled. Would make a start and get saved at a meeting and go along a while and maybe in a month or two or three. But generally before another camp meeting or assembly meeting, they'd be back. Right back where they were. No, not right back where they were. A little farther back. You know, it's generally the case that when people get saved and then lose out, they generally get a little farther back. The enemy has a little, you might say, a greater advantage over them and drags them back again a little farther. Tonight, let's ask ourselves this important question. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Dear ones, if we're clear in our experience with God and we feel in our hearts that we haven't received Him, you know you don't have to wait a year or two to get it. Many times that's a sad mistake. You know the Lord dealt with me within just a few days after I got saved. The Lord told me that I had the best experience I ever had. And now if I not lose it, go right on and get sanctified. I felt just so new and so free and so happy. I hadn't lived long enough to be overcome by the enemy on points and you might say, have a little condemnation over this thing and that, like so many people do. I was just beaming with that first love. Just seemed like I was so in love with the Lord and His way that it wasn't hard for me to go that altar that Sunday morning. Just as soon as they, after the message, and they give a song, and they call the song, and they congregation rose to sing, I was right on my way to that altar. Oh, thank God. You know, dear ones, He'll give you something when you go with your heart open. He'll give you what your soul is seeking for. You know, let's all be honest before God tonight. Let's pray the Lord. Lord, search me. You individually, dear ones, here tonight. It doesn't hurt to saved as well as unsaved. To ask the Lord, now, Lord, just look way down deep in my soul. You know, I've done that today. And before we went into these ordinance services, I asked God, Lord, help me. I know it's important to be clear in my soul to take of this sacred ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's house. You know, that's important. Paul said because people go into that and not clear in their soul, that many are weak and sickly among them, and said some sleep. That means died physically. You know, isn't that awful to think people died physically? Not only lose out spiritually, but died physically because that was such an important thing that they didn't seem to weigh it very important. And some were weak and sickly, and some slept. Dear ones, we need to realize tonight that what God says is important. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Amen. Well, now these people, they hadn't received it. And not only hadn't received it, but listen. And it says, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, you know, that was the important question that Paul asked of them, dear brethren, wasn't it? They hadn't even heard of it. Oh, I can imagine as they began to dig into that and began to see it revealed to them, and the Lord just showed them that beautiful doctrine and experience of a holy life and of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that would come right into their hearts and fill their lives and crown their pathway with grace and victory and glory. You know, I can see how eager they were for it. Sure you can. Why, it says that we have not as much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Now these folks have been baptized, but what kind of baptism did you have? Did you just have a water baptism? And was it a real biblical baptism? You know, a lot of people, if they look into their lives, the Lord might say, what kind of baptism did you receive? Was it a genuine baptism? You know what the Bible standard of true baptism is? It's if you are believe in your heart, see, that all your sins are under the blood, then baptism is genuine. If you're just baptized just as a form, or just to be taken into a denominational church or something, you know, that won't stand. People only must be clear in their soul. They must be clear in their hearts. Their experience with God must be up to date, or baptism don't help you, dear one. True baptism is the man or woman who has repented of his sins, forsaken his sins, and turned to the Lord with all his heart, and has been made a new creature. As we've heard, you must be born again. You know, if people are born again, they're ready to be buried. Because being born again means you died to the old sin life. That old shell of sin has been dropped off and become out a new creature like that. The butterfly comes out of the cocoon, yes. Oh, it's like an old dry cocoon. But you know, when the Lord touched the fiber of our soul and brought out a new life, a beautiful butterfly, to soar around in the haven of God's grace and blessing. Oh, dear ones, where are we tonight? But now, think of it, dear ones. It says we just haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Rebaptized, wasn't they? You know, we've rebaptized people. We've had people that come from here and there among the saints and listen to the truth and the light of the gospel shining on them. And we've had people just on their own come and say, Brother Stover, you know, I was baptized down here, and I found that the minister that baptized me was all mixed up, some of them in double marriage, and some of them smoked cigarettes and one thing and another, and I just don't like my old baptism. I wonder if I could get baptized. Is that the thing to do? You know what I tell them? I tell them, sure, that's the very thing to do. If you're not satisfied with your baptism, tell some minister and they'll take you down here and bury you in the watery grave by a clean man whose life is clean and free from sin. I say tonight, baptism is important. And these brethren felt it and Paul did, so they just were baptized again. And now listen, it says here, that they should believe on him. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They must have got something pretty good, didn't they? They must have got something that they was looking for, that they needed. I know they needed it. They might not have looked for it there because they didn't know anything about it, but they sure got something. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Just think, a dozen of them. One meeting received the Holy Ghost. You know, we'd be happy if we could see a dozen come together tonight here. It's all and we receive the Holy Ghost. That's a meeting, wasn't it? Well, I think every one of us would really be happy. You know, I'm still looking for enough of the fire to fall among us one of these times so we just have some of that Holy Ghost meeting. I've been hungry to see more of that Pentecostal power. I don't mean this jibber-jabber stuff. I mean the real settling down of the Holy Ghost in ways upon our souls. You know, I say tonight, if we get enough people with a burning fire of the Holy Ghost in their lives, it'll make a real activity in a greater manner. Oh, I thank the Lord for what I've been feeling here, but somehow I just want to see more, don't you? Has everybody seen all that one of God's manifestations even in this meeting? Not me, I can tell you of the truth. I'd just like to see the camp, just the whole camp, get on fire with God. And the mighty power of God just run up and down these aisles. You know, we had a meeting out in California in Brother Chandler's congregation. It's been probably 12, 15 years ago. When the meeting got on fire so much that it reached right out in the neighborhood. Yeah. And people were just coming out of their houses and staying right out there. And that meeting lasted till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I believe somebody said there was 100 or better. Wasn't that right? 150. You know, I just kind of like to see some more of them. And I want to tell you, people got saved and got sanctified.
I remember a little lady come to the altar, and she was battling the powers of the enemy. You know, what's the matter with her? She had become bitter against the truth and bitter against her lot in life, and went right over the mercy of God and trampled things under her feet until the Lord gave her over to an evil spirit. She was possessed with an evil spirit. But thank God, God turned her loose that night, delivered her from the powers of hell and darkness. And you know God will do it tonight. If people are bound by sin and the devil, He's able to break every yoke from your life. He's able to set you free, soul and body, dear one. But you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to work in your life. If you have the Holy Ghost, He'll help you to overcome every foe. Keep Satan under your feet. Keep your heart burning with the love of God. Keep you just tender and gentle and meek and lowly. And just like we heard today, that grace of humility. You know, that's a marvelous grace, isn't it? To just be able to just keep humble and low at the feet of Jesus. Just go like a little child, not thinking about yourself, but thinking about God. You know, I love to muse about God. This evening it just seemed like I got so close to the Lord. As I sat looking into the heavens above me, and those mammoth trees around our cabin, you know, I just got such a hungering in my soul to go beyond the blue and explore a new country. You know, one of these days, and sometimes I wonder if it might be getting close, but one of these days I'm going to fold up my Bible, my songbook, lay it on the shelf and take a flight to that heavenly country where I can explore the realms of the light, where we can enjoy the bliss with angels and the departed flames. You know, I've got saints, brethren and sisters over there that meant so much to me in life, but men and women that walked with God, that lived this life in holy accord, they were a blessing to you when you knew them. You know, I think many times of dear old Brother Bowman. You know, maybe a lot of people didn't think much about this brother, but you know, he was a good, dear, humble man. Brother Williams could go away and leave him in charge. He wasn't probably as capable a minister as some others, but you know, they couldn't beat him living in it. He lived that humble life. His dear companions here tonight were thankful. You know, it's wonderful when God's people, one by one, leaving out. I think of our dear Brother Gibson. Many times haven't we said and drank of the blessed truth. You know, I've said that no matter how close he preached the judgment, there was just such a sweet, humble spirit. You know, that's what we need in the gospel, dear one. If God gives us a close message, how much that oil of tenderness, that oil of humility, that oil of gentleness that ought to go with it. You know, if we get on to it with the Word, get ourselves on that Word, we get too much behind it. Let the Lord get on it. Let His Spirit take it, and it'll melt its way in. You know, I'm glad when our dear sister Catherine Williams come among us. She didn't know much about this way. She'd come out of a dark sect. But you know, she was a hungry soul. She come to our meetings, and we didn't know. But you know, just a little scratch of kindness, saints, let's be careful. Just show a little scratch of kindness to some new people. People that haven't been used to coming to our meetings. just the smallest favors, you don't know what it means. We was having baptismal service at the Pecan meeting this year. That's your first time, I believe, down there, wasn't it? First time to our camp meeting. Sister Catherine was there enjoying herself, and they announced baptismal service at a certain place, and we had our car, and we're getting people in, and I noticed Sister Catherine kind of standing to one side. She didn't want to push herself and ask for somebody to take her to the baptismal service. But the wife where I won stepped up and said, would you like to go to the service? She said, oh, I'd like to immensely, or something that way. Well, you know, we took her down there, and she enjoyed that service so much. You know, dear one, just a little kindness. You don't know how far. It might even be a brother saved. It might be a sister saved. It might mean somebody rescued. But a little thoughtlessness, a little slide, might be one lost. You know, that's the case many times. A neglect, the enemy's always there to hinder. And now listen, it says here how that he laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now let me read you back here a prophecy of this time that we're going to talk about. Here in the second chapter of Joel, and the 27th verse, it says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Do you know that God is still in the midst of Israel? He's among his people. He's able to help you and to bless you. I don't believe I can take it. I'm turning too wet with perspiration. Thank you very much. And it says here, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Thank God tonight. If you'll humble your heart before the Lord tonight, you'll never be ashamed. Oh, it wipes away all shame faces. And listen, it says here, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. You know one reason why the devil works so hard to get people to fail, to go on to perfection? He knows that if he gets them, keeps them from that, he'll get them back in sin. And not only that, but he'll keep some good brother or sister from going right on and being perfected in the grace of God. Go right on and grow in grace. And maybe sooner or later, a little voice will speak to their hearts. I want you to work for me. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. When? After the Holy Ghost has come on them. You know, have you seen people get the Holy Ghost? And it wasn't long till God began to lay burdens, began to stir and to move out. Do a little here and do a little there. Maybe at first they stammer and stumble in their testimony, but just keep praying, and the first thing you know, they'll settle and level out. God will give them a scripture to read and maybe comment a little, and the first thing you know, they'll step in the sacred dance. Oh, we love that, don't we? When God's behind you, when God's pushing them along, you don't have to. Maybe sometime a little encouragement, that's good, but just let God. He'll just shove them along, and pretty soon you'll see them moving out. That's what Job said. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, we want to see more sons and daughters prophesying. Some of the ministers around here, they're getting pretty feeble. Brother Gavin, it's pretty hard for him to preach without just about laying him up. Many times after I preach and deliver my soul, I just about need a day or two to rest up. I want to see somebody to carry this gospel, Sister Eck. I want to see God to hold his hand over his people and carry this truth right on to the judgment. I believe he's got to. But let's work to get people sanctified. Oh, sure, let's preach to get them saved. We want people to get saved because they're not ready to be sanctified. A sinner's not day in his shape to be sanctified. They're not ready for the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost only enters a clean life. A heart that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, made whole and complete, thank God, are ready for the Holy Ghost. But you know, I've been encouraged every now and then. I hear somebody over here started to step out. Well, you know, that's wonderful. I understand Brother Williams has had a little help down there. Some stepping out here and there. Well, that's good. We don't want to discourage them. You know, some people say, oh, I think they ought to set still, but not if God's pushing them. Not if God's giving them a little duty. Well, you stand behind them if they can't walk more than 15 or 20 minutes. Sometimes I've seen them just get up and say a few words and sit down. But you know, if you see God working, that's good, ain't it? Let's get behind them, saints and saints, with our prayers, and the Lord will bless them. And it says here, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everyone that will open their hearts, everyone that will get saved and seek for this blessed experience, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, high and low. Oh, different nationalities, just any and everybody that's saved, he's going to pour out his spirit on them. And it says, and your daughter, well, your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. You see, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? If God gives a dream, it's important, like we heard today. You know, God gives visions, gives dreams. I've had him give me a few dreams that never has faded. Dreams that meant much to me in the night hours. I've waited and mused on it. And you know, all down through the years, I've thought of a few dreams the Lord give me, one especially. But you know, a lot of dreams are just maybe from eating a little too heavy evening meal or something that didn't agree with you. But you know, when God gives you a dream, it's important. You know, we have the Bible approved that there was some important dreams back in the Old Testament time. And you know, I believe there was down through the life of the apostles, don't you? And it says here, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now let me read you the fulfillment of that text. In the second chapter of Acts, And we'll start with the first verse. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, it seemed like in this meeting now, maybe not, I don't know, I can't search hard, but I'd say it seems like there's the best spirit of unity. Have you noticed that? Such a sweet accord of brotherhood that you can just seem to feel the flowing of hearts and spirit. You know, that's again a good place for God to pour out a lot of His Holy Spirit, Brother William. You get people just saved and unified and one in heart and soul and mind and doctrine and a truth. You know, that's just what was a matter here. It says they were all with one accord in one place. Right here, we're in one place tonight now. And everyone that's in one accord, you just get a little closer. Lay down anything. You know, tonight I plead before God, if you would come to me, anybody in this congregation, and tell me, brother, there's one thing about you I wish you to get rid of, I'd start praying tonight for God to move it. I wouldn't get swelled up with you. I want to make heaven my home with you. I want to go with the saints. You know, I got acquainted with the saints over 60 years ago. And they were beautiful to me then, as a little child. One of the first saints that we ever met was dear Faye Stewart. She was a young lady, but she was a child of God. Her beautiful life was an influence on my childhood. I never forgot her, and never met her until about probably 20 years ago, maybe. Probably 20 years ago, we were in the tabernacle meeting over in near Mounds, Oklahoma, and we heard that Faith Stewart was in Tulsa. You know, I wanted to see her again. I wanted to see if she had that same humble spirit. You know, we went and visited her. She's happy to know that we was living and working for God. I'm just a little boy. About 6 years old, she didn't know how I'd ever turn out. She didn't know what maybe I'd make a gambler and drunkard like the world doing. But when she found out,